Welcome to this evening's service. The next song is going to be Light of the World. And this is one of the youth group's favourite songs, just mainly due to the words. And tonight I'd like you to just think a little about the words in the first verse. The line goes, "The beauty that let this heart adore you." And when you sing this bit, please, realize it's this heart. And so tonight, just really sing that out and really just realize it's all about this. And let's just sing it and make it personal. And just ask you to just sing with me and with the band, and that you just praise with everything you have tonight. So our next song is Light of the World. Let's sing.
Good evening, and we welcome you tonight. It is lovely to stand on this side and watch the faces of you worship. We thank you. Tonight is the youth service. Welcome. My name is Mary Cortez. I have the awesome gift to work with the Matrix group on Sunday evenings, along with James here, who's playing, and you'll be seeing the youth come forward tonight. Right now, we're going to take up our offering, and then we'll have our prayer by Mary. We're going to stand and sing, "Blessed Be Your Name." And just so you know, the youth all sing these songs every Sunday night next door, and these songs are very important to them. And so what Malcolm said is true. We really want you to think about the words that have imprinted themselves on our hearts. So let's sing that and stand, please.
Thank you that we can all meet together tonight. Thank you that we have Liam here to bring your word to us. Thank you for the offering, for all your love to us today, for all the things you do for us every day. We're sorry that we don't fully realize just how much you do for us and how much you bless us and give us. Please help us to realize everything you do for us and to fully worship you for your gifts and for your blessing, and just for how much you love us and that you even gave your son for us. And this youth service is like a big step for some people, and I just pray that you'd help them to make this step of faith. And I pray that when there's like a really big decision for the church, that they would just be able to fix their eyes on Jesus and make the step of faith and just fix their eyes on Jesus. And I pray that for people just in their everyday lives, that sometimes they really do need to make a step of faith for Jesus, even if it's just saying that they believe in God or not swearing or anything, just like when they're with their friends that aren't Christians. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help to let them know that it's something that you'll really bless them for and something that you'll help them. They just need to fix their eyes on Jesus, and you'll be there to help them. And I just pray that this service will bless your name and help people to realize your love and your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Give her testimony.
Hi, I'm Jonah, and I'm going to give you my testimony. I was quite lucky to meet God, as my parents were already Christians. I learned a few things from the Bible when I was wee, but it meant nothing to me at the time. When I was a little older, I started going to children's church, but I found it boring, as it still didn't mean anything to me. But then the day came when I was asked to come to Matrix Youth Group. I learned tons of stuff about God, and my faith actually meant something to me at last. My faith grew and grew, and nothing could stop me loving God. Wait, that's until I started secondary school. I enjoyed it so much, but it came to my attention the amount of sin that happened there. People were taking drugs and drinking, swearing, being rude and cheeky to teachers, and vandalizing. There's one thing they did that wasn't wrong. They all had a relationship. Every girl had a boyfriend in that school, and I just felt so out of place. My parents said no. Wait till you're a little older. It was really irritating to me. I eventually gave up and did it. Then God came to me and said, please stop. You will regret it, and you're disrespecting your parents. there will be a time, just not now. I answered, fine, I will eventually. But 2 weeks passed and I was still doing it. God came to me again, I'm warning you, if you will not stop, I will punish you. I wasn't scared, I was so determined to challenge God, but I regret doing so now. As another 2 weeks went by, I was given depression. I eventually couldn't go on and ended my relationship. But that wasn't the end of it, as that depression lasted another 6 months. Before this service, I was scared to read out my story to you, and now I feel great, as I've taken another step through Christ. As I had eventually stopped what I was doing, it doesn't mean that I'm an angel and never sinned at all. That's not true. I've learned that it's worth trying not to sin. So next time God tells you to step out the boat and walk on water, believe me, it's worth it.
Let's pray for Shona and our kids. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the honesty and the pain that you allow us to go through. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for whether we are young or old, we can call upon your name. Father, that you love us as your children. Father, we thank you for the steps of faith that all of your kids are doing tonight in the various ways and the gifts that you have given them. We thank you for their honesty and their desire to share with the body of Christ how much you mean to them. We truly love you, Lord, and we thank you. In your name, amen. Now we're going to sing Wonderful, So Wonderful. Please stand with us.
Thank you.
may be seated. And now the awesome, amazing Amanda is going to come forth and bring the word to us.
I'm reading Matthew 14:22-33 from the Youth Bible. Jesus walks on water. Immediately, Jesus told his followers to get into the boat and go ahead of him across the lake. He stayed there to send the people home. After he had sent them away, he went by himself up into the hills to pray. It was late, and Jesus was there alone. By this time, the boat was already far away from land. It was being hit by waves because the wind was blowing against it. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them, walking in the water. When his followers saw him walking on the water, they were afraid. They said, "It's a ghost," and cried out in fear. But Jesus quickly spoke to them, "Have courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said, "Lord, if it is really you, then command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." And Peter left the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind and the waves, he became afraid and began to sink. He shouted, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hands and caught Peter. Jesus said, "Your faith is small. Why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind became calm. Then those who were in the boat worshipped Jesus and said, "Truly you are the Son of God."
Thank you, Amanda. Let's stand and sing, "My Jesus, My Savior," please.
Who has been on an unforgettable walk? You may interact. Participation required for tonight, I'm afraid. I saw the first hand here. Oh dear. Good to see you looking dry in church tonight. Anyone else? I saw a hand up there. Wow, excellent. Good to see you're okay and in church. I saw another one. Oh dear. Oh dear, my goodness. Unforgettable walk indeed. Anyone else? Oh, you've played the game well. I'll put you out of your misery. I've got a few unforgettable walks for you. Man walking on the moon. Pretty unforgettable. Although some people are actually debating now, did it happen? My goodness. Controversy. Second one, walking down the aisle. An unforgettable walk. I see some smiling faces. I see some sad faces. Forgettable for some. Walk the plank. And I'm sorry tonight, the dog was the only one that was getting it. I couldn't find a picture with a man walking the plank, so it had to be a dog. So sorry, dog lovers. The moonwalk. Can anyone do the moonwalk? Would you like to demonstrate? I can't, I'm afraid, so you're not getting any demonstration from me whatsoever. Mike? No? Okay. Another unforgettable walk, a little more serious. The Via Dolorosa. Does anyone know what this is? Any of the kids first? No. Any of the adults next? This is the walk, allegedly, that Jesus took, the very route, and you can go to Jerusalem and take the Via Dolorosa. Unforgettable walks. But an unforgettable walk that has been sticking in my mind recently, even before we came to this service tonight, and it's an unforgettable walk with a slight difference. You see, normally, with these people walking here, you'd see footprints. You would see the scuff of the bride's shoes, if anyone wants to argue with me. And the moonwalk, you certainly see the... Oh, see, I nearly did it there. My goodness. Generally, these walks left footprints. But the unforgettable walk we're talking about tonight is one that didn't leave any footprints. Why was that? Because it was a walk on water. Jesus and then Peter walked on water. Isn't that amazing? Impossible, but it happened. Now, this is the kind of walk that would get you into the Guinness Book of Records. But you'd think, if they were actually going to say, right, we're going to break a world record here by walking on water, they'd wait until the conditions were perfect. Calm, maybe just a gentle wind, you know, to help you along the way. No rain, nothing like that. But that's exactly the opposite of what happened here. Because as we'll see, just to demonstrate how unforgettable and how incredible this walk actually was, Jesus chose the worst possible conditions to demonstrate this amazing miracle. And of course, he did it on purpose. But rewinding back a bit, as Amanda read to us, we read that Jesus had chosen to stay behind to exercise a bit of crowd control. And he was going to pray for a while up on the mountain, and he sent Peter and the other disciples on ahead across the sea to Capernaum. So the disciples got in their boat, but when they got out there, the boat was beginning to get thrown about and tossed about by the wind and the waves, and it was really, really rough out there. Now, we have to actually grasp before we move any forward how rough it actually was out there. And the way we do this is by remembering that Peter and other disciples, a few other disciples in the boat, were what by trade? Fishermen, exactly. And for fishermen in that boat, who've probably been in a boat since they were about 5 or 6 years old, learning the trade and how to fish, for them to be petrified when they actually felt more at home in a boat than on dry land, that must have been some storm. And we begin to understand how bad it really was. But it's funny how storms do that to people. It's funny how it starts to make people feel a little bit frightened, like they've lost control. And we all know what it's like to be frightened in storms. I remember when I was a kid, and I don't know how old I was, probably about 7 years old, maybe six. If I bring this down a bit, it'll sound better. And I remember I was in my bed up the stairs, and my bedroom was at the back of the house, and whenever it was night, it was just night, like it was pitch black. And I remember just lying there, I wasn't feeling that sleepy, and I had my eyes open. And then the next thing, all you see, I could see every single thing in my room, this almighty flash, and then a huge crash of thunder hit. Before you know it, before anyone, if anyone was in the room, before anyone could say, whoa, did you see that? I was out that door, I was down 12 stairs, without, I don't even remember touching them. And I stormed in like that into the living room where all my family were. I was like, "What? Did you see that lightning?" That was a bit, trying to be all cool about it. But really, my heart was racing, and I knew what it was like to be absolutely frightened in the storm. And you'd be glad to know, just to kind of make me feel a little bit better, instead of being publicly humiliated, I'm not afraid of storms anymore. At least not big ones. But we are all frightened of storms. But I'm not speaking now about the kind of ones where the wind blows strongly and howls loudly. I'm not even talking about thunder and lightning. I'm talking about storms of life. Those storms that we face, like failing an exam, breaking up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a partner, losing a job, losing our ability to do something, losing a loved one. These are all storms that each of us face in life. And here's the first thing that we can learn about this story of Jesus walking the water. The disciples are far away from what they needed most, and that was land, dry land. And in the middle of the storm, there is Jesus. There is Jesus. He's just there. Even in the most unlikely place and in the most impossible situation, he is there. Our ever-present help in times of trouble. And he is just as present today. He's near each and every one of us here tonight. And he is every single day of our lives. We don't need to be in church in order to feel close to God. So, back to the story. The disciples are in their boat and they're crying out in fear. And as if this night couldn't get any worse for them, all of a sudden they're like, what on earth is that? They see this figure walking along on the water. And they cry out in fear. They think they've seen a ghost. Great. That is exactly what they need. As if the storm wasn't bad enough, now they start seeing ghosts. But Matthew wants us to know that sometimes, as we know it's Jesus, but Matthew is here wanting to let us know that sometimes it takes eyes of faith to see that it is actually Jesus there. And often in the middle of a storm, we're not that much better than the disciples were at picking out Jesus. We should maybe listen in and learn from a certain someone in the boat. Someone who has an inkling, a little thought that says, hey, wait a minute, I reckon that after all the things I've seen over recent months, surely this is Jesus. And Peter, with a little bit of faith, shouts like he's never shouted before, trying to get the volume of his voice at a decibel level above the noise of the crashing waves and the howling winds and the yelps of all the other boys in the boat who are frightened of this ghost they're seeing. And he shouts, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Now let's pause for a moment here. Reality check. Violent storm, big waves, outside of boat. Howl of wind. Hard enough to stand up inside the boat. Never even mind outside the boat. Hello, Peter. I mean, come on. It is water. And to top it all off, as Matthew tells us, it's 3 a.m. I mean, how many of us are good at walking about at 3 a.m., never mind on water? We're bumping into things in the middle of the night. But Peter, I mean, he wants to walk on water. He wants to get out of the boat. I reckon if I was in the boat beside him, I'd be nudging him, saying, Peter, is there no plan B? You know, what are you going to do? But despite his request going against every minuscule brain cell in Peter's mind, shouting, no, I don't want to die! Irrespective of what his common sense might be telling him, Peter yells out in blind faith, not sure if this is Jesus or not. And this is our next thing to remember. This is a call of discernment. It's a call where he's actually trying to figure out, now I reckon that's Jesus. Something inside me is telling me that's Jesus, but I need to find out if it is, so I'm going to ask. And so he does. Peter doesn't want led astray. He doesn't want led onto the water and left to drown. He doesn't want to act on a foolish impulse. And that happens a lot. He has to figure out if this is real or if it's just his imagination. And that is what discernment is. But it is Jesus. And Jesus is looking for something more than just impulsiveness. He's looking for us to look beyond what our five senses are telling us and seek him out. And with discernment, that is essential, to have that discernment. You see, sometimes it's easy for people who are Christians to make a decision, to step out, calling it faith when it's not actually faith, and then try to rationalise it with spiritual language. We have to make sure we discern before we step. That's a lesson we learn from Peter and from Jesus here. So Peter called out to Jesus and identifies himself. Jesus identifies himself. And John tells us in his own version of the gospel in chapter 6, "It is I, don't be afraid." And he answers Peter's prayers by basically saying, "Yeah, it's me, I'm here." And Matthew 14:29, as Amanda read for us, Jesus says, "Come on." Jesus has revealed himself to the worried yachtsman and to Peter. And with this call of discernment, Jesus, in true Wimbledon fashion, plays the ball back into Peter's court. "I've responded, Peter. It's your choice. Step out or stay in." But before we actually get to what Peter did, I have a challenge for us. What would we choose? Water or a boat? Water, wavy, rough, impossible, wet. Boat, a little bit safer, I suppose, in the storm, but generally a place of comfort. Do you want to walk on water? Do we want to walk where Jesus walks, even if it means sacrificing things, like leaving friends behind? Even if it means leaving behind the comfort of your own boat with its deck chairs and its stabilisers and all the fancy things that come with a nice boat that's been kept nice. And the challenge we have to ask ourselves is, what is our boat? What is our boat to us? What represents safety, security and comfort in our lives? Our boats are basically what we put our trust in. And it's defined by the things that we're not really that prepared to give up very easily. By the things we're not prepared to give up very easily for following Jesus. For example, maybe our boat is success. If you remember back in one of the Gospels of the rich young ruler, Jesus asked him to get out of his boat by selling all his possessions and following him. He had a very nice boat. Jesus asked him to get out, but he didn't. His boat was too nice for him. But you wonder if he, at the end of his life, thought back to that encounter he had with Jesus, sitting there with his bank balance and his stock portfolio and his first century iPod and things like that. And did he regret it? Who knows? Is there something inside each and every one of you? I ask myself the same question. Is there something inside of us that makes us want to get out of the boat and onto the water? To take a big step of faith in our lives? To leave the comfort of our own routine existence and abandon ourselves to the adventures of following God as he leads? As we have discerned this adventure. Maybe we could think about that this week. Peter, back to the story, faced with an invitation. The ball was back in his court, was also here faced with a choice. And this choice would take faith. So what is faith? Well, Hebrews 11:1 talks about faith being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is having a trust without knowing actually what's around the corner. And I'd like to show you a little clip now about faith. The quality of this isn't fantastic, but hopefully we'll have sound and you'll be able to see what's going on. It's from The Empire Strikes Back.
We'll never get it out now.
Luke Skywalker.
How certain are you?
Can we turn it up a little? Will it go up?
Always with you, it cannot be done.
Never understand a little green one. Not to worry.
Master, moving stones around is one thing. This is
what's happened is Luke
different.
Has crashed his X-Wing
no
fighter
difference.
Into a swamp.
Only different in your mind.
And Yoda, the little green one, is trying to tell him you need to use your
all
faith
right, I'll give it a try.
And what they call
no.
the force to
fine.
Lift this out.
Do.
And he's telling him, don't
I'll
just
do
try it. Believe.
There is no try.
And do it. I can't believe I'm translating for Yoda. How surreal is this service? Big, he said.
Size matters not. Look at me. Judge me by my size, do you? And where you should not. For my ally is the Force. And the powerful ally it is.
You want the impossible.
Did you hear what he said at the end? You want the impossible. Luke had to try and exercise his faith. He tried, but he didn't do so well. He wasn't so sure in himself of what his faith has. And here, this is where we see the same choice that Peter had. And it's between faith or fear. And what do you set your hope in? And what is fear? Fear is basically people disobedient to the calling of the master, like Luke was. He was disobedient to what the master, Yoda, was telling him. He didn't have the faith. He didn't believe, and it didn't happen. He couldn't lift it up. But fear is a terrible thing. If we look at the heavy slab of sin and disobedience in our lives, when we lift it up, we generally always find fear. And if you sift about in the dirt a little bit, amid all that fear, you're going to find the devil. Because that is one of his greatest weapons. But take heed. Faith is your and my greatest shield. Faith was Peter's shield. And stepping out was Peter's choice. He put one foot over the side and then another, and he lets go of the side of the boat. Reality check. A human being was walking on water. Jesus had made it possible for an ordinary person to do something extraordinary by believing in him, by putting his faith in him. And for a moment, it's just Peter and Jesus out there. Peter absolutely beaming in delight. He's actually stepping on the waves. Jesus absolutely thrilled with his student. He's so pleased. When I picture this through the rain and everything, I picture Jesus smiling. He's so pleased. And Peter's just thinking, whoa, I'm actually walking on water. No one actually thought I would ever actually get out the boat. And when I let go of the side, you know, that was the hardest thing I ever did. But here I am, and I am doing it. I am walking on water. Everything's changed. How can I ever be the same after this? This is incredible. Impossible is nothing. But things did change. Peter saw the wind. And he got that sinking feeling. Peter's focus shifted from saviour to storm. His shield of faith was starting to shrink. And those darts of doubt, those fiery arrows of fear, were getting through to him. And he was afraid again. He took his eyes off of Jesus. And in a way, we know what this is like. We start off on a new adventure of hope, a new job, testing out a new area of gifting. And then we get a little bit frightened. We hit setbacks. We maybe hit opposition, obstacles. We see the wind, and sometimes we lack faith. I do. Let me give you a perfect example. On Thursday night, I was down in Glasgow for a college service. And as I was coming back up, I was working on the sermon. And I looked across, and it was just me and this other lad in the carriage. And we were sat across from each other. And he sat there, and he was reading a little booklet called Closer to God. Does anyone know it? It's a little Bible study book. And I felt God say to me, ask him. Ask him what his reading was about. Ask him what he learned. Because you need to learn this as well. And I was like, right, I'm concentrating on my sermon. I'm trying to write away. And it kept tugging me towards this gentleman. And then next thing, I was thinking, right, starting to build up the courage. Over about 10 minutes before I got to Stirling. And then I was thinking, right, I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him, why am I so frightened? I don't know why I'm so frightened. I kept asking myself. But then the announcement came over the tannoy that 10 minutes had passed. Not that 10 minutes, 10 minutes have passed now. Bing bong. No, it says, we're nearly at Stirling. I'm merely, you know what I mean. And he got up and left. I didn't get out of the boat. God had some, I really believe God had something for me there. And I didn't take it. And I missed that little adventure of a 10-minute chat with another Christian on a train. And when I do a lot of train journeys, which I do, that's not a very frequent thing. And I didn't get out the boat. But I hope that my not getting out the boat has helped you tonight. And has given you an illustration. I failed. Did Peter fail? In a way, yes. His faith wasn't strong enough. His fear and his doubts outweighed his faith, so he sank. He calls for help. And again, praise God, Jesus is there. He always is. Pulling Peter out physically points to the problem, as Amanda read to us again, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And this tells us that whether Peter sank or Peter walked on the water depended on whether or not he focused on the storm or on Jesus. And Peter took his eyes off of exactly where they should have been. And we are told in Hebrews the valuable lesson of faith that no matter what, we should fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So Peter failed. But if you ask me, and if you ask John Ortberg, because to be fair, I did nick this bit from him. In the boat, there were some bigger failures. Peter knew the glory of walking on water, and they didn't. They played it safe. Now, don't misunderstand me here, because playing safe is sometimes the right option. Let's not ever forget that. That's where discernment comes in, and we were speaking about that earlier on. But it is never good to become so comfortable and reserved, like me on the train, that you're not actually prepared to take a step and initiate a conversation with another Christian. Ha! With my brother in Christ. We should never let fear or doubt get in the way of us actually taking that step when we feel God wants us to do this. And at least by actually getting out of the boat, Peter puts himself in a position to fail. And you see, it doesn't really matter if all your efforts fail sometimes, because failure is good. It's given your faith a chance to grow. Failing doesn't shape you, but the way you actually respond to your failures shapes you. And the only way you fail is not by learning from your mistakes. And we can learn this from the story of Edmund Hillary, who made many, many unsuccessful attempts at scaling Mount Everest. Everest, before he actually conquered it. And one time after he failed, he just stood at the bottom of the mountain, shook his fist and said, "I'll defeat you yet, because you're as big as you're going to get, but me, I'm still growing." Growing. Every time Hillary climbed, he failed. But every time Hillary failed, he learned. And one day, he conquered. Jesus, as our final challenge for the night, is still looking for people who will get out of the boat. Jesus is still looking for people to step out in faith. He's still looking for people to fix their eyes on him, and he is still looking for people who will, after failing, just get right back up and get on in the faith. As I say to myself, as I have been going over this all week, and I say to you tonight, get out of the boat a little bit every day. You can do it in the morning when you get up. You can get out of the boat by sharing faith, your belief with a friend, with someone you don't normally do it. You can get out of the boat a little bit by speaking to the stranger on the train next to you, irrespective of whether or not they've got a little Christian book. There are many ways that God can call us to exercise our faith and get out of the boat. And before we finish, I have another wee clip to show you. What's happening here? This chap is taking steps of faith. And you'll note as he takes his steps, there is a bit of light for where he takes his step, and it spreads. And he starts to see things round about him, like bears. In the UK, where the UK's fastest growing religion is witchcraft, where churches are closing all around us, where Christianity is mocked and squeezed out, I believe the challenge to us as a church is, I believe the challenge to you as young folks, I believe the challenge to you as older, I believe the challenge to me as a pastor is to make sure we keep getting out of that boat and we keep taking those steps of faith, like in this clip here. Our challenge is to waken up from our spiritual slumber, to put on the shoes of the gospel, not of Adidas, the shoes of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and step out, even leap out in faith, trusting that when faced with obstacles that sometimes stop us dead in our tracks sometimes, that God is making sure we are setting our feet in the right places and making sure that where we set our feet is safe. And when we get out of the boat, when we take our steps of faith. We bring, like his steps, light to the world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you firstly for the depth of your word and for all that it contains, for this passage that we've read tonight and gone through. How much more we see when we peer beyond the words on the page and we see the images in our minds. We see your message behind these words and we learn. And thank you, Father, that tonight we have learned how to discern, to know when you are calling us, to know when to pray about a call and to figure out whether or not it is of you or whether or not it's of the devil or an impulse of our own. Thank you, Father, that we can call out to you. Thank you that you answer us. And we thank you for the challenge that you play the ball back into our court and leave some decisions up to us, choices to make that require faith and that need not be affected by fear or doubt. And thank you, Lord, that you, when calling us out onto the water, make sure that where we place our feet is safe and that we are kept up. And Father, I pray for each and every person here today, including myself. It is our prayer this evening that we would fix our eyes completely on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, and not be distracted by the wind and the waves and the storms that the devil throws up around us to try and distract us and tug us away from the path that you have set before us. That path where, as we keep our eyes fixed on you, we just keep coming closer and closer and closer to you. Father, keep us on that path. Help us to get out of the boat a little bit every day. Help us especially to get out of the boat when your will is laying before us. And I pray, Father God, we would never, ever miss a step in that will that you lay before us. Thank you for the young folks who've participated tonight. And we pray as well for all the decisions they'll have to make in their lives, the choices they'll have to make. We pray, Lord God, that you would give them discernment in these things, that you would protect them in all of these things from the wind and the waves. I pray, Lord God, that you would call them and that they would respond to that calling by getting out of the boat for you. We pray that their faith would be strengthened and strengthened and strengthened through and through. And I pray, Father, you make them into the men and women of God that you are calling them to be. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close our service tonight, let's stand and sing another song that the kids have chosen, When the Music Fades.